Welcome to Cannabis Elevated, a podcast offering insight into the evolving cannabis industry directly from the industry leaders. In this episode, M. Hardeen, COO of U.S. Operations, Dwayne Weiss, gives us a business-oriented take on extraction. We learn what you need to get things started, which extraction products are the most profitable, and how to gear your business towards the future demands of consumers.
Hello, everyone. This is Mitch Carell speaking. Welcome to the M. Hardeen podcast. I'm joined today by a very special guest, and why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, Mitch. Thanks a lot. Hello, everybody. This is Dwayne Weiss. I am the Chief Operating Officer of M. Hardeen, and glad to be here talking with you this afternoon, Mitch.
Thank you, man. Thank you for taking the time to sit down with me and talk a little bit. So why don't you go ahead and tell me a little bit about your background and how you actually got started in cannabis?
Sure. Why don't I just start with, you know, all the way back from the beginning, educational experiences, and then on to some business ventures and
Absolutely, how
that sort of led into my position today. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Well, I'm a Colorado boy. I've been here a long time. I got my undergraduate degree at CU up in Boulder, studied marketing there, so I got a business degree. From there, I took some time and went into consumer products for about a dozen or years or so. Spent time developing brands and sales strategies for a big consumer products company, Kraft Foods, their Nabisco unit, and all the brands that go along with that. So as we look at that experience translating to, you know, what we do today, that was pretty valuable experience. It was at that time, sort of around the time I left Nabisco, I went back, got an advanced degree, went on to get an MBA from the University of Denver as I was finishing up my stint with Kraft Foods there. You know, like a lot of people in the cannabis business, I've spanned multiple industries, right? So consumer products we talked about. Also spent time in real estate development, some financial services work. And, you know, most recently before joining M. Hardeen was in media and advertising as president of Clear Channel Outdoor. And that was a valuable experience as well. You know, a couple billion-dollar company that, you know, spanned the country and had a lot of components to it. There, my main focus was, you know, going around to troubled divisions and propping them up, fixing them up, getting them back to profitability and the revenue growth that that was needed to make that business go forward. So that was a great experience as well. And that sort of led me up to the time where I got involved with the founders of M. Hardeen. And you know, prior to joining full-time, I served as an advisor for M. Hardeen's founders and executives and, you know, kind of worked with them to develop strategies and executional expertise. And it was during those discussions that, you know, we made the decision to add an extraction lab, which is sort of the topic of our conversation here today. And it at that time, it made sense to, you know, to add that business to the mix to round out a true vertical integration of what the founders and M. Hardeen were looking to do. So that's how I got started. That was, let's see, that would have been, November of 2015, I suppose.
So around 3 years ago.
Yeah, around 3 years ago. And then it took this role as COO just this year, January of 2018. And boy, it seems like one long day since then. In a good way.
Definitely, yeah. That's definitely something I noticed too. It's just the days can definitely be long, but it's so rewarding here. Like,
right.
You just definitely see the fruits of your labor come to fruition there.
Well, you really do. And when you see the opportunity that's in front of us and know that it's one that doesn't come around
very often,
right? Everybody calls it a generational opportunity. And certainly having been in it, you know, for a little bit now, I see that that's the case. And watching legalization take place as it has in not only, you know, individual states here in the U.S., but other countries as well, just the global nature of what this opportunity can be is pretty exciting.
Definitely. So one thing I actually really wanted to touch on was your background in terms of standing up Next One, just because we've spoken about this off air and I've you know, been to the actual facilities, seen some of the actual processes and the packaging and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious, in terms of an extraction business and when you're actually starting an extraction business, what type of items do you really need to look at in terms of upfront cost or equipment that you may need to purchase and things like that?
Yeah, that's exactly how we started. You know, first of all, it was a strategy choice. We wanted to add something to round out the portfolio to, you know, not only include growing cannabis, selling it through dispensaries, but also capturing what you do with the trim, you know, what you do with the byproducts of the plant. And, you know, as we all know, that's usually done with through an extraction process to make other products. So started off with a strategy. And then from there, you know, it was typical business stand-up type stuff, right? I believe in most cases, every business has to start from a customer perspective, right? So we sat back and we looked and we thought, okay, we've got internal customers. What is it we can produce through this lab initially to start generating revenue? What's the most effective way to do it, the most efficient way to do it? And let's start down that path. So we, you know, we identified some real estate, we bought some land, and from there, you know, got through the regulations and the compliance aspects of it to make sure we were going about it legally and lawfully. And then it was a design exercise, right? Not only from what equipment made the most sense, Mitch, but what's the workflow look like, mm-hmm. right? So we've got a U-shaped facility, as you see. I mean, yeah. it's a rectangle mm-hmm. facility, but the workflow is in a U-shape that starts in one portion of the facility and ends up back where it goes out the door. And that was purposely done, mm-hmm. Knowing that for our purposes, we were looking to be a scale and, you know, a facility that was going to operate on a big basis.
Definitely.
So, yep, certainly equipment was part of it, and we made all those decisions along the way. Worked with architects, engineers, designers, had a couple of people who had been in the extraction business before. You know how it is. You get people who know what they're talking about and try and learn something from everybody along the way. So, yeah, that's kind of the initial considerations that we had.
Got it. So one thing I actually also wanted to touch on was, you know, given the last couple of months in the industry, there's been a lot of news of these companies acquiring other sorts of, you know, whether it be, you know, edible manufacturers mm-hmm. or extraction companies. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a lot of consolidation going on. Mm-hmm. And from an investor standpoint, I can tell that the quick return on investment and then just the early break-even point in terms of these extraction labs is something that's very attractive to these investors. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you can kind of touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I want to be careful to make this not sound all that easy, because it's not. It's actually very, you know, it's a competitive business, and it has a lot of components to it, from manufacturing to packaging and the post package or the post processing part of it to marketing and sales, sourcing input materials, all those sorts of things. So, yes, we did return our investment early, and in all honesty, we plow everything back into the business, right? Just like a lot of cannabis entrepreneurs do these days, to get to the point that we've gotten to in 18 months, a lot of that investment has been recapped. But then again, the profits get plowed back into the business to enable us to keep growing. So in 18 months, we went from selling our first gram to being the biggest producer of concentrates in the state on certain products, most of the products that we make. So it was a concentrated effort and one that was not easy. So granted, there is a great story here from an investment standpoint, but it's got to be well thought out as part of, in my opinion, as part of an overall plan, right? Like we talked about a few times here, the vertical integration. And part of that for us, Mitch, has been having the foresight, I guess, to grow our own source material, and we grow it outdoors so that the cost is substantially better than either having to buy source material, raw material,
yeah.
or grow it indoors. That's been a big competitive advantage for us. And then the other thing I'd like to mention is, you know, from an investment standpoint, we do see consolidation, and, you know, I think the extraction business is vary quite a bit market to market, mm-hmm. right? So in a place like Colorado, it's gotten very, very competitive. And initially that was, you know, the extraction business was thought of as a way to not have to grow cannabis. We can just process and charge whatever it is that we need to charge. But in a competitive environment like this, without having, you know, our own source material, for example, there would be no way we could do anything other than look to sell out to someone else.
Yeah.
Just because it's so competitive with the number of licenses here in Colorado. Not the case everywhere, right? As we look at, you know, Nevada, for example, we we've recently acquired a facility there. And as we get an extraction license and begin producing these products there, it's a different story, right? It's still, the supply and demand curve is still intact in that the market is looking for more products than it can currently source. Second part to that is, tourists pay a completely different price than a hometown Denver person pays in Denver, you know, at a Denver dispensary. So it's market by market how this sort of consolidation, how this consolidation sort of works. And we feel pretty good about where we've positioned ourselves.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So another thing that I was actually thinking about just in terms of, you know, the stand up of these types of businesses is just, when you're actually building out that team of people, it's going to be essentially like, you know, the ground zero crew that's going to take care of actually getting this started. What exactly are you guys looking for in terms of skill set and like prior experience when you're building out a team like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. So learn some lessons along the way, right? we always try and get experts in whatever the field may be. And so, for example, if we were to go do this again, and we will, if we're trying to replicate this in Vegas, let's call it, what I've learned is that there are certain types or positions that you absolutely need, right? One's a project manager to manage the build out, just the coordination required to design and build an actual lab is fairly significant. It's a learnable skill, but it is a skill set that's very, very valuable. And we had that here in Denver as we did it. A couple of other positions that are absolutes, in my opinion, is chemical engineer type. You know, someone with that background that understands the compounds, the scientific background, that can help, you know, determine best methods for production, best solvents, best whatever it is, based on the business goals that we've set. And that sort of goes hand in hand with a product formulation specialist. There are basic products, as you know, in this space, everything from, you know, basic oil to topicals, tinctures, all these formulations that require some skill to make properly. So those are absolutes. And from there, you know, it's just specific labor, from lab techs to, you know, packaging people. It's in most cases, those are hourly positions. And, you know, we try and create an environment where we don't have too much turnover, because, you know, the repetitive nature of that part of the business can get to some. But, you know, where we've got an advantage is being a bigger company, and having the training capabilities that we have, right? For some of these positions, it's very valuable for them to be able to go to Amhardeen University and learn, maybe if they're not from the cannabis industry, right? They can go all the way back and learn the basics of how the plant is grown through our system, all the way up through extraction techniques, packaging, metrics, and what it means to be, you know, to be a business manager, for that matter, because this is one of our companies where we really do try and promote from within. We try and hire for that purpose, right? It's okay if you come in as a packaging technician with an hourly wage. You can stay at that if that's what you choose to do. But if you have ambition, drive, and some technical ability, and demonstrate, a desire to move forward, we really try and work that way. That's one of the ways we help keep that turnover down for those hourly positions. So, yeah, it ends up being, I don't know how many people we've got at next one, 40 maybe, something like that.
And that's at any given moment, or that's split up amongst different shifts sometimes, just to kind of keep things sort of going?
Yep, that would be total employees at this point. We do have two shifts that we run for packaging. That's I think industry-wide, production is ahead of packaging or gramming, as we call it, the weighing of the materials, due to the kind of sticky nature of the oil. it's a little bit inconsistent from batch to batch in terms of density, things like that. So, not to get off on a tangent, but that's one of the areas that we're focused on right now, Mitch, is, automation.
Definitely.
With the 40 people that we have, we're glad to employ, folks like that. But in order to continue our, scalable model, we're looking heavily into different technologies for labeling, for packaging, for those sorts of things. So automation where we can there.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And then from a business perspective, as far as just the different types of extraction goes, I mean, I've, you know, particularly with Next One, you guys have been coming out with a ton of like different product lines and things like that. And I wonder in terms of those different products, are there ones that are preferable in terms of just the profitability or the demand? Like what exactly is the criteria that you guys use to choose what you produce?
Yeah. So all of those methods of extraction are valuable based on what product you're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. So as we got our start, we, chose butane and propane extraction mainly due to the fact that it's quickest, right? And it allows us to produce three kind of core products. One's called shatter, another one wax, and another one is an oil substance we call live resin that's just made from whole plant material. It's got all the terpene profiles and all the good stuff that comes along with the whole cannabis plant. So from a strategy perspective, we use butane for doing those core products. Now, when it comes to pen cartridges, for example, a lot of times the most efficient way of making pen cartridges or extracting the material that goes into those cartridges is through a CO2 extraction process. So we would evaluate it based on what we're trying to make. If we were making nothing but, tinctures or edibles or something like that, we may consider ethanol, which can be done on a gigantic scale. It's not necessarily what, because of the visual of the product that comes out of that method, it's not necessarily something that is desirable in another form, but it does have its place from that standpoint. So yeah, wrapping it all back together, it comes down to what product you're trying to make and what the best way to do that is.
Got it.
Yeah.
So then, having been in this industry for, so long and actually seeing the way that the industry's kind of adapted and changed, not just here in Colorado, but mm-hmm. probably in different state markets and then even across the border in places like Canada, what do you think the future of extraction looks like from the business perspective of it?
This one seems pretty clear to me, Mitch, honestly. It's consumer products. These are turning into consumer products, right? The packaging, the marketing, the branding, all of it is very, very consumer driven. Okay. So if we take the THC side of a cannabis plant and the CBD side of another type of cannabis plant, and we look at those two cannabinoids as ways to develop products, that's where the market is today. Probably going to continue with blends of those two compounds as well as them separately and singularly, but it's looking more and more like the shelves of a drugstore mm-hmm. at a dispensary as I see it going forward. In other states, again, it's market specific. There are other states that are far ahead of where we are here. Okay, California, for example, I see a fantastic variety and a fantastic job that's been done marketing and branding concentrates, edibles, those sorts of products. We're not quite that far along here in Colorado, mm-hmm. But we will be. The other part that I absolutely see a trend in is moving away from strain-based selling or marketing mm-hmm. into an effects-based marketing campaign. You know what I mean by that?
So instead of being specific to a strain, like if it's Blue Dream or a White Widow, for example, it's more about the actual effects that you get from, actually intaking whatever it is that you're going to be smoking, whatever the byproduct is.
Exactly right. So if you're home for the evening and, you flip on the baseball game or whatever your program of the evening is and choose to chill out, we'd have a product for that. If you're out on a hike on a Sunday with your friends, we've got a product for that. So based on what you're looking to do, almost lifestyle mm-hmm. type choices there, right? And one of the things that we're currently in the middle of doing is creating a testing lab, right? That'll allow us to determine which strains we can combine to produce those effects and produce them consistently, right? So if we're looking for a stress relief product, are we blending mostly indica-based strains for their compounds to produce that effect? And having an in-house testing lab allows us to do that. It doesn't replace, obviously, a compliance-based testing lab, but allows us to be consistent and thoughtful about our formulations and whatever that may be. So we've got a number of brands that we're developing across the country, many of which we've developed here in Colorado and are taking to other states. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that all plays out. And as wait and see how the federal, the feds view the future of this business. And, certainly there are things we can cross state lines with other than product. I think that's important as we go forward, branding and the consumer products nature of it.
So just another question that I wanted to add on here, being here in the space of Colorado where so many licenses are being issued to different players in the space, what do you think someone that's trying to get started in the actual extraction business can do to distinct themselves from existing businesses?
Right. What would be somebody's competitive advantage if they were trying to enter this market?
Exactly.
In all honesty, I think that's a tough spot to be in if you haven't learned your lessons, if you haven't made some inroads to get on the shelves of the chain dispensaries, et cetera. It's very, very competitive. So without a thoughtful strategy, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to displace another competitor on the shelves? Or have we truly come up with something revolutionary that no one has seen? First of all, they've got to start with one of those two strategies. All right, we're going to produce a line of inhalable, almost like the old asthma puffer things, mm-hmm. right? Okay, well, you can try and do that, but if you're thinking about the total concentrates market, why would you? That's a tenth of a percent of all concentrates sold. So again, this for me, Mitch, these are all strategy discussions, because if you can figure out where you can fit in, then you've got to go execute on it. It's just not that easy. And again, I relate it back to my days at Kraft Foods, where if you had a new product, you made a presentation, you went to the headquarters for Target, for example, and you better have your ducks in a row, because you're going in there trying to take shelf space from a competitor. And if you're new to the market and you don't have anything from financial backing to dollars for advertising and co-branding and things like that, you honestly don't have a chance. This industry, especially in Colorado, although we've got 500 and some dispensaries and many, many licenses, 1,000 plus licenses across the state, it's a fairly small world. It's a fairly close-knit group of individuals that have been in it from the very beginning, and they know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. They've learned the lessons that a maturing market has started to teach them. So very tough in Colorado to do that. If you're lucky enough to get a license in a limited license market, typically those are much younger than our market today, then I'd say the same thing, right? Pick your strategy. What are you trying to do? You trying to be a core product? Are you trying to be a niche player and make your business out of that?
Definitely. So I just want to thank Dwayne for taking the time to sit with me, and we'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you all.
That's it for this week's episode. Be sure to catch the next one at CannabisElevated.com or on your favorite streaming service. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all things Cannabis Elevated. Thanks for listening.